This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of The Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests each week tries to answer them. Joining me this week are two cast members from the soon-to-open production of Belvoir's Holding the Man. This new production comes nearly 20 years after the play's premiere in 2006. Written by Tommy Murphy, the play brings to life the heartfelt and heartbreaking memoir by Timothy Conagrave about his 15-year relationship with John, from falling in love at high school in the late 70s to its devastating conclusion in the early 90s. Welcome to the show, Rebecca Massey and Shannon Elise Kwan.
Woohoo!
Hi!
Hello, you two. Thank you so much for joining me on the quiz.
Thanks for having us.
Really excited to be here, Johnny.
Yeah.
How's it going? You're deep in rehearsals at the moment. Tell me about the show.
Well, it's very, very elegantly described by you, so I'm just going to ramble a little bit.
Sure.
It's very beautiful. It's got incredible actors in it. It's a beautiful show. It is so amazing to revisit this play after its premiere in 2006. You know, we're in a different place with queerness and we're in a different place with AIDS, but it turns out we're in the same place with love. I have a character who says something like, it has all the emotions. And I think we go from first love to a little bit of infidelity, spoiler alert, and a sort of like a greater triumph of love. Family love, boy love, bit of girl love. it's a play about love.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, as I said in the introduction, it has a heartbreaking conclusion, which is, I guess, historically accurate in terms of what was going on for predominantly the gay community in the through the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
But the play is about more than just that. You're right, it's about love.
Yeah, and I think also about, you know, coming to terms with your identity and your queerness, especially in a world that doesn't necessarily know how to handle that. I think because Tommy's play and the memoir itself are such classics now. I think revisiting it at a time where, you know, a lot of people already know where the play ends. So
yeah.
Finding, like, how it resonates today is just as important as, you know, honouring these two men and their love and their lives. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well said.
Beautiful.
That is really good, darling. Yeah.
Now, on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
Oh.
Can be about anything.
The way that my brain has just gone...
I think I've got a bit of trivia about black holes.
Oh, good.
That they the size... A black hole is the size of a pin. No. Is that something like... Is that just like I made that up?
I mean, I believed it.
Yeah. So that's my trivia. Sure. I don't know. Yeah.
And what, it's just that they're... Their sucking force is so strong that everything just gets slurped into it. Wow.
Yeah.
But I could have made that up.
I like it.
Sure, but say it with confidence and I'll believe you.
Yeah, get your fact checkers to check that fact of trivia.
Yes, well, I mean, I've fact checked all the questions in the actual quiz, but these pieces of trivia I can't do. Well,
wild
I'm
cards.
Not skilled enough to do real-time fact-checking. So whatever you say,
after.
You can get away with it.
Yeah. I don't think I have one.
No?
Or better than lie, you know, giving a false fact, I think.
I can't even think of a lie.
Oh, yeah, I could think of a lie. It goes like this. Black holes.
All right, well. If you can't think of a lie, even, or what might be your favourite piece of trivia, that's okay. We can go straight into the quiz.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe something will pop up for you during the quiz. And if it does, you could just chime in.
Great.
Anytime.
Aces.
Excellent. Let's do it that way.
As you can see, trivia is going to be our...
Oh, we're going to be so good.
I don't do I trivia things at pubs and stuff.
See, I love trivia. I'm terrible at it, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, yeah.
Good.
We're well teamed.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah. Hit us.
All right. Here we go. Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
Scottish actress Kelly MacDonald voiced which Disney princess? And there's a bonus point for naming that 2012 film in which she is the protagonist.
Aladdin? No.
Brave.
It is Brave. Very well done.
Is that Merida from Brave?
It bingo.
Yeah.
Oh,
well done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the only Shannon, Scottish Disney that. Movie yeah, that exists, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I think that it existed.
Yeah.
Shannon can sing incredibly and dance, so that's why she knows this sort of trivia. Yeah. You know.
So you know some Disney princess kind of numbers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know any of the songs from Brave?
Are there songs in Brave?
There are songs in Brave, but they're sort of more in the...
Scottish?
You know, they're not really Disney-ish.
Yeah. Not like
this was actually a Pixar film, but it was when Disney acquired Pixar.
Wow. I wish I did. That would be cute.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Is that in it?
That's not in it at all.
Should be.
Can you tell me anything about Princess... How do you pronounce her name? Merida?
Merida?
Merida.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm less right.
Hey now, with that attitude, who knows? It's been years since I watched it.
Yes.
What about Merida? She's quite feisty.
Indeed.
She's quite headstrong.
Yes.
I think she's quite tomboyish.
So it was quite a departure for Disney to have a, you know, quote-unquote princess, one of their princesses, as this, Brave, well, I mean, the title of the film is Brave. She isn't sure, she doesn't get married or coupled in the story, which that was a first.
Mm.
It was the film was the brainchild of original director Brenda Chapman, and she, Princess Merida, no, I'm saying, oh, Merida.
Merida.
Was Pixar's first female lead, and in 2012, the film won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature, making Brenda Chapman the first female director to win that award. However, she had been fired and replaced with a man during production of the film due to creative disagreements between her and the boss at Pixar, John Lasseter.
Things to answer for, Pixar.
Yeah.
That's spurred some feminist trivia. Can I share?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah, please do.
My daughter was studying the Renaissance, and it was just like, oh, you know, this man and then this man and then this man and then Leonardo and then another. And I said to her, like, what are the women doing? What are those women doing? And we looked on the intranet, and the intranet said there was this incredible... So this is trivia from the Renaissance. This queen was defending her castle. She was Italian, and they were trying to storm the castle. She said to them, you're not coming in. And they said, we are coming in, and we're going to kill you and your children if you don't let us. And she said, kill them. And she lifted her skirt. She wasn't wearing anything underneath, and said... I have the mold to make more.
Wow,
yeah, isn't
that's
that
cool.
Amazing?
That's cool, isn't it? That's a story.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
But why hasn't someone made a movie about her?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't quite have the correct phrase to use for that thing that she did, but, you know, the closest I can come is, like, that's some balls on her to do that. Yeah.
Check those lady balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you for that, Beck. That's a great bit of bonus trivia.
Yeah.
I wish I knew her name. That would help. But, you know, but that's not like the black hole. It's actual true.
Yeah, that one's not a lie. Yeah. We know that one.
Yeah, good. All right, well, let's jump ahead. You got that very quickly. I'm very impressed. Question number two. True or false? The year 2000 was a leap year, but the year 1900 was not. As you know, this year is a leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how to discover if a leap year or if a year is a leap year?
February's different. That's how you know.
Well, yes. Yeah, you could look at February and count the extra day.
Yeah.
But if you just take the number of the year.
Ooh, is it every 12? Did I make that up?
Yeah.
I did make that up. All right, no worries. I'm like, there's the zodiac that comes in 12.
I think it's
12.
Every 4. It's every 4.
No, it's every 4.
By 4.
Yeah, well, there you go. So a year is a leap year if it is evenly divisible by 4.
So no. Or is that yes? Sorry,
if it's
I'm not
evenly
maths.
Divisible by 4. Excellent.
Yeah. So how's your maths? Can you do 1900?
The audience can't see me now, but I'm lifting my skirt.
Beck, put it away.
Put away those man balls.
So the year 2000, for example, which was definitely a leap year, is divisible by 4. So 2000 divided by 4.
5 something or
is
other.
Is 500. Mm-hmm. Did you just say that?
I said 5 something or other, some zeros. Oh,
yeah, very good. 500, that's good enough.
Very good.
And 1900, I'll tell you this, is also divisible by 4.
So the answer
and
is
that,
true.
That equals 475. But.
Oh, there's a but.
Yeah, there's a but. Because do you know why we have leap years?
I actually don't.
How do people do this at home? Do you know what I mean? With the paper. Like, how do they do it?
Piece of paper?
Without your help.
No. Do you don't know why we have leap years?
Something to do with the sun.
It is, yeah. It is something to do with the sun. Well, it's more to do with the
Earth going around the sun.
Orbit around the sun.
Okay.
We have a leap year because a year isn't exactly 365.25 days long.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Why?
Which is what it would need to be to have one extra day per 4 years to work.
Oh.
Right? But over a period of 4 centuries... the accumulated error of adding a leap day every 4 years amounts to about 3 extra days.
Wow.
So that would gradually throw out the calendar out of whack with the seasons. So to correct this, the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar that we use, omits 3 leap days every 400 years. By omitting the 29th of February in the 3 century years that are not multiples of 400.
This is some big brain stuff.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It's
your
pretty
mouth
kooky.
Is moving
because,
and it's a noise coming.
Yeah. So the answer actually is false.
False. Yeah,
it was a 50-50, wasn't it?
I forgot that we were even asked a question whether it was true or false.
Oh, no, sorry. Let me do that again. The answer actually is true.
Ah!
The year 2000 was a leap year, but the year 1900 was not.
Was not.
So true, yeah.
So true.
Cool.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Did you get that right? Do we count that one?
I think I said both answers at different times. So I call that a win.
I reckon Shannon
it's
got
perfectly
that right.
Acceptable.
I think she really got that right.
I think so.
Yeah.
Thank
you. All right. All right, question number three. If standing on the Spanish steps Which European capital city
Rome.
Would you be in? Very good. Beck Massey doesn't even wait till the end of the question.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was really scared that Shannon was going to get it, and then I was just...
competitive.
I just elbowed her out of the way, and...
I'm bleeding now.
God, like, why are we not there now?
That would
on
be
those
nice.
Steps?
Yeah.
Having a coffee?
Do you know why they're called Spanish Steps?
Because they were made by a Spanish architect.
Oh, that is a really good guess. It's incorrect,
no,
but it's a good guess.
Thanks for your encouraging tone.
They were... I'm pretty sure the architects were either Italian or German.
Mm-hmm.
But the stairway was built in 1725 to link the... Trinita dei Monti Church, which is at the top, which is actually a French church, and that area still belongs to the French state,
wow.
weirdly, in the middle of Rome. But it links that church to the Spanish embassy, to the Spanish embassy to the Holy See in the Palazzo Mandalsecchi at the bottom.
Secchi.
So, yeah, that's why they're called the Spanish Steps.
Okay. Excellent. How did they own that?
Even though they're in Rome.
Church. That's so interesting.
Yes.
I thought churches were owned by the church.
They're owned by God.
Biggest property owner.
They're owned by God.
God.
Definitely goes over my head. But, you know, I'm learning. Not.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can't wait for the next
There's
one.
A little bit of trivia.
I'm nailing it now.
You are.
I've got the wind beneath my wings. Yeah.
All right, question number four. Where in the human body is the smallest skeletal muscle?
It's got to be the foot.
Oh, interesting.
It's not, by that
It's not.
Reaction.
You can tell by the tone of my voice, yes.
Smallest skeletal muscle. Should we look at a chicken? Muscle. Like, imagine a
chicken, because they have small muscles? Is that what
you're
saying?
Well, no, but, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, all of that muscle structure, like when you pull apart a chicken.
Hold on, what's a skeletal muscle?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that one of the things that define skeletal muscles was that they are voluntary muscles. So they're the muscles that we move consciously, right?
Right.
As opposed to the other type of muscles, which is involuntary muscles.
Reflexive.
Like the heart and, you know, the ones that control our... digestive system, things like that. But this muscle
little muscle
is an exception to that rule. So it is barely longer than a millimeter. I'll tell you what it's
sweet.
called. It's called the stapedius stapedius muscle.
Is that a clue?
It's not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, unless you know what the stapes is.
Your stapes.
So this does work or move involuntary as part of a reflex situation.
Is it appendix? Anything to do with appendix?
What? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. What?
Appendix? Anything to do with appendix?
Oh, I still can't hear you. Oh. Which is ironic. When talking about this...
It's the ear!
It's in the ear, yeah.
In the ear?
What
Am I
do?
In your ear? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now?
I can hear you now, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
weird.
Funny, I don't know why that happened. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is in the ear. What were you saying?
I said appendix.
The appendix, oh, no.
Which is quite large.
Yeah.
And not in the ear.
Compared to
do?
The stapedius.
What does it do, Johnny?
It contracts... as part of the acoustic reflex, which controls the amplitude of sound waves from the general external environment to the inner ear.
Oh.
So
when
something's really loud, for example, suddenly loud, it will contract and pull away, you know, the little horseshoe or little stirrup bone, which is the smallest bone in the body. It pulls it away from effectively your eardrum. So that it is protected, so that your hearing is protected. So
tiny little protector. You know,
yeah, so you know when there's like a really loud bang and you hear it followed by like you hear ringing. A microsecond of it, followed by silence. That's your stapedius doing its
shrinking
job.
Up. Wow.
That's so yeah. clever. Aren't we clever?
Isn't it clever?
It's just amazing yeah. that more doesn't go wrong. That's yeah. what I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, it is. There's so many bits to
so
us.
So many
that
clever,
could just,
clever
just
bits.
Go wrong.
Just walking yeah. around. I'm very grateful.
Walking around. Yeah. yeah. All right. Very well done. You got there. Question number five. Yeah, you did.
Kind.
You definitely did.
You're very kind.
Kind. Kind, Johnny.
Question Lee. Number five. Name Australia's shadow treasurer.
Asshole.
Any idea of this? How's your politics? No? Was that just a no? I'm not going
that
to.
That was an asshole, I said.
Oh. That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No? Sorry. He's the member for Hume in New South Wales since 2013.
Honourable
he was a minister
asshole.
in the Morrison and the Turnbull governments.
Wow, so really knows how to add up.
AT are his initials.
Taylor. Andrew Taylor.
Taylor is his surname. And his first name is a type of bull.
Oh.
A type of bull?
Bull.
Or cow, you know, steak.
Cow. Cattle.
It's
Angus.
Actually also Angus is the right
Taylor.
One. Yeah.
Well
Angus
done.
Taylor. Angus Taylor.
Angus Taylor.
Very well done.
Keeping That's, his head below the parapet, obviously,
yeah.
out of
yeah.
our reach.
All right. We are going to take a very quick little break. We'll be right back.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Rebecca Massey and Shannon Elise Kwon. And we are up to question number six.
Woo!
What,
yeah!
What anise-flavoured spirit is distilled from wormwood?
Anise. Oh, ouzo?
What did you say? Ouzo? Oh, no, that's
ouzo?
That's
Isn't
that's
that
a
anise?
Good guess. It's incorrect.
Jägermeister.
You've got the right flavours, but
you're wrong. You're actually both wrong.
These are not made. These are not distilled from wormwood.
Oh,
wormwood.
What's wormwood?
So there is
a wood.
Wormwood is like a particular herb.
Okay.
I think,
oh, okay.
Or plant. It's quite.
When would I drink this?
Yeah.
When would I? What sort of restaurant am I in?
In you drink this in the Belle Epoque.
Oh, is that the green one that makes you have hallucinogenic?
Exactly right. What's that called?
Absinthe.
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 Oh. Yeah.
I've never had
Very
it.
Well done.
No, I don't think
no,
I have
No, I've never
either.
Had it either.
Let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
An absinthe party.
Absinthe.
Another yeah. bit of trivia. That's what the Masseys used to, Ken and Elaine used to come home at 1 o'clock in the morning and turn on the lights and say to us girls who are asleep, let's have a party. And then
wow.
turn the lights back off once we're jumping on our beds. They just like to see us jump on our bed.
Bit of joy.
Yeah.
Just look a at, grab of joy.
Look at our girls.
Yeah. That's sweet.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I love that.
Yeah. Let's have a party.
Good. Very well done. My goodness. That one was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just had to dig it out a little bit.
Teamwork is All what
right.
we needed.
Yeah.
We got it.
Question number seven. The Duke of Wellington defeated whom in the Battle of Waterloo in 1815?
Napoleon.
Very well done. Straight out. No.
Well done.
Napoleon who? Napoleon who, Beck?
Bonaparte.
Yeah, very well. I was just testing. Just
oh, yeah.
seeing if you...
Well, I don't... Yeah. Oh, wow. God, it's so good when your little Straxus... bone pops
yeah.
something out.
Yeah, exactly. It pulls the bone apart.
That is really good. Oh my God, the bone apart.
All right. Question number 8. Prior to Alex de Minaur, who was the last Australian tennis player ranked in the ATP men's top 10 for singles? That sounds like a dating
Leighton
thing.
Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah, the guy married
it
to
was,
the lady.
It was Leighton Hewitt.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only
was that just as the only one that you could think of?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, bingo.
God. Yeah.
Trust your gut, hey?
Yeah. That's exactly what this podcast is all about. It's it's almost about word association most of the time.
Yeah. Let's do some of that. Can we, if we get time, should we just do a bit of word association?
Sure.
What? That's good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
All right.
Do you know what Leighton Hewitt's highest rank was?
Yeah.
3. I don't know. Was
He was number one.
Oh, number one.
Was he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Really good.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was the youngest man to reach number one.
And how old was he?
At the age of 20. He was a little over 20 years old.
That's a baby.
It's very hard to be that good at tennis.
Hard to be that good at anything at 20.
Yeah.
God.
That's true.
I think that's, though, when you're the best at everything and then after that.
Where do you go?
You think what now?
Well, I think that when you're 20s probably is when you're the best at a lot of things. And then after that, you just start wheeling out your sad old jokes.
That's true. That's true. How old are you, Shannon, if that's not too...
How dare you?
You know.
I just turned 30 a couple of months ago.
Oh,
but how
birthday.
Good do I look?
Well, you look great. I would have guessed...
You can tell me.
I would have said barely 20. You could be number one in the world 10 years ago.
Something.
At tennis.
At something. Yeah.
Specifically tennis.
I am the best in the world at something.
Maybe. All right. Question number 9. We're nearly there.
Oh, wow.
We're flying through.
Yeah.
And this is another 50-50. So here we go. Which video game came first?
Mm-hmm.
Pac-Man or Space Invaders?
Space Invaders.
Oh,
hang on.
Absolutely. No hesitation.
Oh, good. Okay, that what
How,
she said.
Do you know what year Space Invaders came out?
No.
Just you were very sure.
Yeah.
1979.
Oh, you won off.
78.
Very well done.
Wow.
Yeah. And what about Pac-Man?
82.
No.
Later?
Black Hole.
Earlier. Yeah.
1980 is the right answer. Very well done.
1980.
I was really confident in that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that knowledge came from, but I did just know that.
Good on you for just knowing
that.
That is cool. That's cool.
Pac-Man.
Weird.
It was invented or created in Japan, and it was originally called Puck-Man.
Oh. Like those pucks.
Because he's shaped like a puck.
Because that's what it is.
Because he's shaped like a little puck, I think.
Yeah.
Why'd they change it? That's really cute.
I think it might have been because puck is very easily turned into another word.
Yeah, cheeky another word.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cheeky little word.
Yeah.
I think that's just an assumption that I've made. It might not be true.
That feels quite on the money, though.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks. All right, we are up to the final question.
Final.
Are you ready? Question number 10.
Yeah.
Russet, buff, and sienna are shades of which colour?
Brown/beige.
Brown. Brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Brown.
Very well done.
Brown.
Do you know, can you describe those colours?
Russet is kind of reddish brown.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Then we had, what was the next one?
Russet, buff, and sienna.
Buff is like a very, almost a cream, beige.
Yeah, nice.
Beige,
buff, and
or
do you know,
skin coloured.
Do you know where it gets its name?
From a chamois used to buff something.
Well, yeah, it got its name from the colour of buffed leather. So, yeah. The result of buffing something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what about sienna? Do you know why, or can you describe that
sienna
colour?
Sienna, tango, Xerox. Sienna. I don't actually know. I don't even know sienna as a colour.
You're going off the other two, which you know very well.
Sienna is an earth pigment, which takes its name from the Italian city where it was produced during the Renaissance.
Oh.
In its natural state, it is yellowish brown and called raw sienna. But when it's heated, it becomes a reddish brown and is called what?
Just
baked sienna.
Burnt sienna.
Burnt.
Burnt sienna. Baked.
Burnt.
Baked. A baked sienna, isn't that that's a pasta
a dessert.
Dish, isn't it?
Yeah,
dessert.
Baked sienna. Oh, delicious.
Excellent. Well, my goodness. Rebecca Massey, Shannon Elise Kwon, it has been so nice having you on the podcast doing the quiz.
Thanks for having us.
It's been fun.
My absolute pleasure. Absolutely.
Is this what your dinner table's like, Johnny? Like full of facts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And every night of the week. I put together a quiz every night of the week and we just chat about stuff, random bits of trivia. But Holding the Man, previews begin for Holding the Man at Belvoir on the 9th of March, opening on the 13th and running until the 14th of April.
Yes, please come.
So excellent.
It's a really beautiful show.
It's also really fun and really funny.
Great.
It's not all,
It's all, not all doom
heartbreak
and gloom.
And doom and gloom, first act especially.
Yeah.
We laugh.
It's very
playful. Good.
Yeah.
I so wish I could get up to see it. I'd feel like I mayn't get up to Sydney in that time, but I wish I could.
Well, look, I tell you the thing, the one thing this play does sort of affirm is how short is life.
Mm.
Come.
Okay.
Don't if you don't want to.
No, I absolutely would love to, but I just don't know.
No, come to the show.
Yes.
No.
Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Bye.
Been a joy.
Bye. It's been very nice to chat.
Very
with
nice
you.
To see you back, especially Beck. Sorry, Shannon. I don't.
You don't.
No, that's fine.
I'm
you
sure
know,
you're a very nice person.
Hey, you don't know that for sure. And we all
she
play
is.
Favorites.
She is.
Sure. Thanks so much.
Bye, darling. Bye.
That's it for another episode of the Saturday Quiz. Thank you for listening. Thank you to my guests today, Rebecca Massey and Shannon Elise Kwon. They are soon to appear in Holding the Man at Belvoir Street Theatre. And as you just heard Beck say, one of the lessons of the play is that life is short, so you should get along and enjoy it. For those who want to know, the Renaissance woman who lifted her skirts at her attackers was Caterina Sforza, who led an extraordinary life and remarked at the end of it, "If I could write everything that happened, I would shock the world." As always, the questions in this quiz are written by the stupendous Cindy McDonald, and my thanks go to her. This episode was recorded on the land belonging to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, with Shannon and Beck calling in from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge their traditions of sharing knowledge and stories for millennia on this land. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.